forever. Dog.
Warning. The following HauntCast features live theme park rock and roll, self-defeating thoughts, a somber monster fact correction, and actors waving their arms wildly. All this, plus a peek at Southern California haunt season. It's Mike Loves Haunts on HauntCast The Fright. Welcome to HauntCast The Fright, the scary theme park podcast where sometimes scary haunts go well and sometimes scary haunts go very badly. My name is Mike Carlson. Joining me as always, Jason Sheridan.
I'm so intrigued. I mean, I've been intrigued for days about this episode.
I'll bring Scott Gardner in here real quick.
Yeah, geez. I truly don't know. We're all on the edge of our seats.
I feel like I've hyped this up. So real quick, I'd like to just, we'll tease this right now. And then we'll do a little just general Halloween discussion. But my journey, my personal journey on this podcast, this theme park podcast, is starting out as a scared kid. Scared of Halloween stuff. Scared of haunted houses.
Yeah. Did anything happen? Did anything change?
I'm walking through, in case you're, maybe this is your first episode. Something did change, and all of a sudden, I became the undisputed king of California haunts. Southern California haunts. I think I called myself that. I was being a bit facetious, but then it took, and everyone's been saying it. Everyone says it.
Not a joke anymore.
Honking their horn, they yell it out the window.
Undisputed King of Sucker.
That's right. Leno drove by in the Munster's car, which I have been, by the way, I have to stop this real quick.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I saw this.
This is shocking.
You've been publicly griped.
Oh, I got to look up. I forgot.
Everybody keeps falling into it with the 60s TV shows.
Did you miss
throwing out there?
Yes.
Oh.
So regularly, Scott pointed out, I think, 2 weeks ago that... Several occasions, he'll say something about the Munster's car, and before the sentence is even finished, I will say Dracula.
Yes, Dracula.
Now, Dracula, someone has pointed out, and I should find out who this gentleman is. Somebody pointed out that on our Facebook group, somebody has corrected me, and that the Munster's car is called the Munster's coach, and the Dracula is actually Grandpa's car. That it's a different looking car than the regular Munster's car.
Which is, now hang on, the Munster's coach, that's like a more hearse.
Yes, a bigger car for the whole family, and it looks like a hearse. Grandpa's car is more of like a coffin in the front, sort of a roadster coffin thing.
And this is part of the film that I know that you were fond of.
Yes.
What's the film called?
Munsters Go Home. Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, and the confusion comes from, and this person points out in the Facebook, and I will find the name, that Rob Zombie, in the video for Dracula, the song Dracula that he has, he uses the regular Munsters car and not Grandpa Munster's Dracula. So this is where the confusion now has stemmed from for years.
Yeah.
And now this is the guy directing the Munsters movie, the new Munsters movie, which he
having already made an error.
Yes, a fatal error. Mr. Robert Zombie.
I assume somebody heard that this happened and had a heart attack. It might be happening right now. Yes. Sorry, listener, get some help.
Yes.
Don't make this a fatal mistake. But yeah, Rob fucked up, and now he still gets the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, I guess that's
they only give the best of the best the Munsters franchise once every 3 years for some unviewed, unwatchable pilot.
It is a prestige property.
Yeah,
nothing but hits since the first show came out.
And the last time they didn't even make a full pilot; they just made that Fallout Boy song Uma Thurman that samples the Munsters song.
That's true. Nothing but the best for
this
property.
Art has existed in the Munster.
Yes.
Jeez.
This gentleman, Matt Carr, pointed this out. Mm-hmm.
Well,
so
you know why he knows it. He knows his cars.
Very good.
That lasted.
Very, very
good. He's always driving his classic cars all around. Yeah.
So I'd like to formally apologize to the listeners here. I hate to, there's gonna be a lot of me humbling myself on today's episode, and it starts here humbling myself by saying that I have been incorrectly calling the Munster's car the Dragula when it is the Munster's coach, not the Dragula.
So we're answering kind of a spooky gripe. Yes. I guess.
Right.
I don't know how what you call a horror, a graveyard gripe.
A graveyard gripe is good.
Yeah.
So that we're taking care of that up front. But we're going to discuss sort of, you know, what is Southern California haunts? What do they look like this year? And I did a couple things, and I will just tease that one of them went very, very badly.
Boy.
And
I have no clue what's coming.
Yeah, here. I don't want to overhype it, and it's nothing like serious. It's nothing like I, you know, got stabbed or something, but
or
it
you
went,
didn't. I mean, you wouldn't be talking about it on the show, I guess, but there's no scenario where like you and three other people killed somebody and you had to enter some pact and there's some farce where you buried the body, but then it got worse and got found out.
Yeah, I don't think I would say anything. That would be for off mic. I would tell you guys off mic and then say, you know, hey, don't bring it up that I had to disappear a body off.
Yeah. We have to be honest on this show.
This is honest podcasting.
No matter what, even if you get sent to jail.
Yeah. I'm not saying I wouldn't tell the listener if I committed homicide, but right now I'm not feeling comfortable enough to admit something like that. So the stakes are a lot lower. But in the context of me growing and going to haunts and, oh, look at what you're doing now at age whatever when I started 35. look how brave you are, you man in his middle 30s. It was really, really defeating and stayed with me for days.
Oh, man. And after a year where you weren't allowed to grow.
Right.
Where we were all stuck in nobody really got to grow in any way in 2020.
Sure.
And now you're so like you're raring to get back out there.
Yes, I was raring. Yes. So before this, I asked the ready, but just to make sure have you guys done any fun? Have you seen the Halloween decorations? Sky, so you dressed up the front lawn a little bit. It's a great little.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I've got a little skeleton scene happening in the. Oh, what a dream. I'm so happy to have a place where I can make a little skeleton
That's
scene
fantastic.
Happen.
Fantastic.
That and some a couple pumpkin patches. This is my first year with the kid, like understanding Halloween. So we're like, boy, the hype was correct. I have heard that little kids love pumpkins, and they sure do.
Yeah,
he went around and gave a high five to every weird scarecrow at this one that we went to who all had rubber Halloween masks that seemed to be either Hillary Clinton or Mitt Romney, multiples of both, I believe. My son's high-fiving undead Mitt Romneys left and right.
Okay.
We're having a great time. But other than that, you would not think to call that a haunt.
Right.
He's going to be running the register at one of Burbank's two year-round Halloween stores soon enough, or any of a number of horror-focused memorabilia and DVD bookstores.
It's a real district, yeah.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point, and I haven't really thought of it. It's all on the street in Burbank called Magnolia, named Magnolia, which is what the Paul Thomas Anderson movie's named after, that street.
Mm-hmm. Which I think factors into, I think some of it is set on, but not that stretch of Magnolia,
right.
But Magnolia runs through the whole valley, so,
yes.
And he loves the valley, as we know.
Yes, we know that.
We got a whole new valley coming out.
Yes, but it's full of kitschy nonsense.
Yeah, Magnolia Park.
Old toy stores
is.
On Magnolia.
Toy stores,
multiple
a lot of vintage
Halloween.
Stuff, a lot of antique shops, a lot of little coffee shops.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's also why I like Burbank. I had that thought driving down Magnolia. I'm like, oh, yeah, I like all. It's all right here.
Car-specific bookstores where you might just be suddenly biking around with your kid and run into Jay Leno.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's magic.
Burbank is magic.
Model train shop.
Yeah.
Very specific stuff.
Very, oh, yeah. That kind of stuff. And where there aren't, like, where you ask, are there tangible locations for things like this? And there are, and again, we're not talking Spirit Halloween. We're not talking these fly by night operations that come and go, although they're around too. But yeah, year round Halloween stores. That is very
themed. Yeah, highly themed rooms that say, like, don't take photos in here.
Haunted Mansion stuff.
Yeah.
Disney stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that's fun. So that's, you just did a few pumpkin patches.
That's been thus far, yeah.
Jason, pumpkin patches, anything Halloween?
Well, I finished that book, Ghost Story, and I started a spooky Ray Bradbury book.
Now you read, a reader is what we discovered about you last
year. I am a reader.
So you read, but interesting.
He lords that over us, because Scott and I can't read a book.
One of my little quirks. I'm trying to watch more horror movies for when I eventually become a big brave boy.
Right, because that was supposed to be, we scheduled you to become brave
last year.
Right.
And I was brave. And you were, I came out, yeah, I lived through, we all were brave.
And because, yeah, you were citing some physical problem, like this year you said, okay, I can't be brave this year. So can we schedule you to be brave next year?
I sure hope I'm like, you know, the physical therapy seems to be slowly working.
Okay.
So walking distances is getting a little easier.
So we'll pencil you being brave. Now, can you declare, will it just be Horror Nights next year, or would you be willing to go to Fright Fest and Not Scary Farm?
I think I would start with Horror Nights, because my impression has always been it's the most polished. It's a good,
You want a good show.
I love a good show, but also it's a little more predictable.
You are right about that. It is the most predictable. They do a very similar scare each time.
Yeah.
So yeah, you will be getting a rhythm of getting yelled at, or not yelled at, just like arms. Basically all you do is you walk through a little hallway and somebody flails their arms at you.
Yes.
Unexpectedly, while a loud sting plays.
I was telling you beforehand, I watched a lot of the house walkthroughs at Horror Nights, and I watched some live streams the opening night of Horror Nights, which in Orlando was very funny, because it started before the sunset. Sun still pretty out, and then a massive thunderstorm blew through, so everyone scattered.
Yes.
And there really wasn't a ton to do outside. You either got in line for a house, or you tried to eat limited run food.
Mm-hmm.
And the live streams were mostly vloggers saying hi to other vloggers who were also vlogging. And if you jumped back and forth between them, you could figure out spatially where everyone was. This was kind of a fun jaunt. But
okay.
I bring this up. My impression, watching videos of a lot of the events and reading about, you know, the mazes and scares, it feels like a very meat and potato. Like we're playing the hits.
Yeah.
We know people are hungry to come back.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are cash rich right now. But we want to put on a good show. We want to have some big houses.
Yeah,
some, in Universal's case, some very recognizable names of properties and stuff. But like, I didn't get as much of the impression. Like 2019, people felt like they were going between the Us House and the Ghostbusters House. It felt like
it was definitely lower key this year. So we will get to the end. I guess it'll be a little bit. The story will be a little earlier, because we will just talk about just generally the Hollywood Horror Nights houses and some of the stuff that I did get to do. So that will be in the episode as well. But I'm going to weave a tale, I guess, for everyone here.
Please.
Yeah.
Let's start this.
Should we turn the lights off and get some flashlights out?
I was feeling anxious even about telling. I have told the story, but I am feeling anxious about telling the story. But if you guys want, I'll do it in the dark. I can handle it. I'm still brave.
Well, can I just say, I don't want to give anything away. Sure. Maybe you had a way to get to that, but you did not make it to Fright Fest this year.
Correct. I did not make it to Fright Fest. Hopefully next year.
Can we remind which one? Because
Fright
Fest is Six Flags.
At Magic Mountain.
Magic Mountain.
That's, if you've heard the show, Anthony Gio was on that, And yeah, I'd like Anthony Geo's schedule to free up to be, you know, to be able to go again so we can do a good Fright Fest too.
Can't do it without him.
No. Can't do it without him at this point. I love all of us to go so we can all go to the Full Throttle Lounge beforehand.
Oh, sure. Book a book a block of rooms at the Hilton Garden Inn up there or something.
Block of rooms.
Go to the Wendy's next to the decrepit, rotting Six Flags greeting, like visitor center.
There's a former gift shop in the base of a... It's a gift shop in a sign in a Wendy's parking lot.
Yes. I don't think...
So weird.
A more expensive Wendy's. A Wendy's where they like bumped the prices a little more.
Wow.
They knew they would get people.
I don't think even, Scott, like I don't even think... Like, I wouldn't even pressure you to do anything. Mm. You literally, maybe like we just tell you, sit outside Full Throttle Lounge and watch the teens and see what they do.
If I'm like, allowed to mainly stay in Full Throttle. But Full Throttle Lounge is closed, at least regular.
Yeah,
so
right,
if there's no
true.
Full Throttle Lounge, then I, if there's, I demand Full Throttle Lounge and I demand Anthony Geo.
Yeah,
these are
yeah.
my demands.
So maybe we can all go and we all have like different beats. It's all different. Like we all report on different things. But
well,
we
that's
all
a nice idea.
We all go to the running of the scare actors at the start, where they all run out into the audience and everyone shrieks. So
I bring this up because I was wondering if you had at least glanced at the website to learn that the Willoughby's Resurrected House, a house that you in 2018 spoke pretty highly of, this year is brought to you by Discovery Plus's Ghosttober event. Discovery Plus Ghosttober presents Willoughby's Resurrected.
Oh, Mike that? Seems exceedingly sure what you're talking about.
I was like, what is that, the one with the big pile of shit? There was one where it was like supposed to be in the sewer and there was like a giant thing that was supposed to represent a big pile of shit that a man made.
No, this was like an old mansion. Like,
with, I know. Oh, yeah, I do know. I do know. I know. That one actually was pretty good. That was like their own version of the Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
Okay. Willoughby. Yes. I remember Mr. Willoughby. There were original characters. Sorry. Yes.
Mike loves haunts and he remembers haunts.
Fright Fest. Some of the one Fright Fest maze, we had to wear 3D glasses while walking through it. To completely, my memory is totally gone. I think that might have been the shit one though. And all I remember was the shit.
Ghosttober, also kind of the sister event to another streaming event this October. Peacocks has a lot of horror movies for October, and they're calling it Peacocktober.
Okay.
Peacocktober.
All right.
Peacocktober.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Got it. Thank you.
So, but I'm excited
Happy
to see
Peacocks
how much
over,
they have.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Great. Folks, Michael here. Eating well is hard sometimes, but that's where Factor Meals comes in. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. They've got 35 different options to choose from each week. So what are you waiting for? Get started today. Get after your goals. I've been getting after my goals. I had some creamy Parmesan chicken. It was delicious. I made it and I felt smart for doing it. A great thing about Factor is that it's flexible for your schedule. You get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Head to factormeals.com/podcastride50 and use code podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code podcastride50 at factormeals.com/podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do it.
Anyway, on to your story.
Of course. So last week we were talking about what's this, because we've have a couple other episodes planned. You can guess one of them, obviously. And was like, what's this episode going to be? And I have an ambitious idea. I would also say next year, Fright Fest 2, Jason becomes Brave. And then this ambitious idea I had that scheduling wise did not quite work out, but it's a very good idea and we will do it next year. Oh, so.
Boy.
I was thinking, okay, I want to make sure when we go and do a haunt report that I do a couple things and maybe a thing that I've never done. And Wednesday morning, something fell into my lap that was unexpected. I got a text.
Physically?
No, no.
Did you get crushed?
No, figuratively.
Edwin.
Edwin.
What? What are you doing?
Edwin, you've crushed my genitals like the Twisted Colossus roller coaster at Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Just getting you ready. Woof, woof.
Woof, woof. Happy Halloween. So I got a text from friends of the show, Eva Anderson and Jason Woolner.
Oh, boy.
They, on the text chain, invited me to something called Project Minotaur. I was invited to Project Minotaur. And I remember I looked at it. I'm like, what is this? Project Minotaur. Now, I have done, I should say this, I've done a couple of these other, like, smaller haunt scary things with them. We've gone to a place called Zombie Joe's. I saw a show there, and I did, like, a basically, like, a simulated dark ride. It's over on Lancashire. And I was like, that's one of those where you have to, like, sign a waiver, and then they can touch you and stuff, which is weird.
Yeah.
But I actually found that pretty cool. Not the touching part. I mean, the actual overall experience.
Come on, admit it. You felt free for the first time in your life.
No. I didn't like touch. I didn't like be touched by strangers. That's not a weird kink I have. No. Don't look into that anymore. So I've done a couple of these things. We have done Delirium with Eva, which is a little more of a, like, an adventure.
An immersive
play.
Experience.
Very long.
That was great.
Which is really cool. And it was a little, you know, scary part, but nothing like, it was not a horror based thing where sure. they throw you in a, I heard they like throw you in a coffin in other ones.
I think they're coming back. And
they are
I think
back.
It is a straight haunted
yes.
house.
Yes, that is correct. A friend of the show, Andrew Grissom, did it. And he said that is the case. It is a horror theme this year.
Is that a company you're saying? That,
yes, they do a show, or I think it may be one. I mean, obviously a lot of people put it on, but I think there's one man in charge. I could be wrong. Don't quote me.
Okay.
So they invite me to Project Minotaur, which is a horror-themed escape room. And I go, oh, okay. And I'm like, I guess I've never actually done an escape room. I don't know. Have you guys done an escape room?
I've not. You know, we have not touched on this area it's almost weird we haven't gotten there.
Yes, it is weird because, like, that's you know, a themed experience that's pretty popular.
And
not
a ton
just,
of them. Yeah.
Yeah, in, like, many cities across the country, not just here.
Mm-hmm. I did one.
Oh, you did?
For, you were out, I think, for Zach Reno's
right.
bachelor
yes,
party.
Yes,
you were
yes.
out of town, I think.
I was out of town, yes.
It was cool, and I'm not particularly good with puzzles. So I was just kind of admiring the theatricality of it. I forget the name. I think it was, like, Escape Room LA, somewhere downtown. I thought it was pretty. Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which I assume. Yeah, I was like, okay, it's Halloween. I go. Well, you know, this is perfect because this is exactly what I wanted to do. Because I'll have material. Because as you guys know, you're living your life for this show. This is your life is now content
Every,
for the show.
It's disappointing when you're sleeping and you're not.
Yeah.
Unless a dream counts as a themed experience. But besides
yeah.
that,
living my life one episode
time.
At a time.
Yeah, exactly. So I go, okay, this is perfect for the show. I'm a little like, it's like a kind of an enclosed space. It's still a COVID situation. But then I'm looking at the website and it's like, you're just with the group you come with. There's maybe like one or two performers and you got like a mask on. I go, well, I'll just bring the good like mask, the N95 mask I have that I wore on the plane and stuff, which is like a heavier duty. It's not my target mask. You know, it's not my breezy target mask. It's like, okay, this is like a legit, like I can feel my breathing being restricted from this. So I go, okay, sure. So it's down on like Santa Monica and it's part of like, it's not in Santa Monica, it's on Santa Monica and like what you call East Hollywood, I guess. And it's one of those places where you cannot park anywhere.
Yeah.
There's just nowhere to park.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I'm early, but very quickly, I am not early. It's one of those situations where I'm like, oh, good, I'm here 15 minutes early. Do-do-do, let's take my time to find a spot. La-la-la-la-la-la-la. Oh, my God, it's 3 minutes till we're supposed to, we have the time that we're supposed to check in. So I'm like, oh, shit. And everybody is, like, Eva and Jason are both like, there's nowhere to park.
Okay.
So I'm like, at least I'm not, like, you know, like, really holding everyone up. But I was, they all seemed to be there before me. So I end up parking, like, 7 blocks away or something. And I'm like, jogging. Oh God. Okay. I get there. We're talking. There's a couple other people. There's going to be 6 total people. Are one person I met for the first time. This other guy, Landon, who we met before.
Yeah,
and I've
Landon,
done a couple.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him in forever.
Yeah.
I took him to wrestling, blah, blah, blah. And I haven't seen him. Like, hey, good to see you, whatever. Amy Nicholson shows up. I haven't seen her in like, God, maybe we saw her at Comic-Con two or three years ago.
Ages ago.
At this point, that's the last time I saw her. Hey, this is great or whatever. So we go in and it's a very, I've heard like they're all talking because they're all in this scene. I get invited once in a while to the scene, but they all know
Eva. Deep into immersive theatrical experiences.
Eva, Wolner, and Landon are all like experts on this scene.
Yeah. Which you have to be in the scene, seemingly. Like, it's close-knit in these. Like,
yes.
And they get really enveloped in them, seemingly.
Yes, yes. And that's a whole nother, like, yeah, they know, like, names of performers and what's happening in that scene, which I can appreciate because I love a niche scene.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, when we talk about any, like, theme park media people, I love people that no one else has heard of, that there's 30 people that have heard of,
right?
You know, so yeah, they're talking about like, oh, you know, we did this escape room, I did, because there's like this place is it's called Quest Room, and they do multiple different escape rooms. So they're talking, oh, we did this one, whatever, we did this. So we get in there, and it's a pretty small, like, I don't want to say rinky, I don't want to make it sound like it's obviously like a good one if they all like this company, but it's like a pretty small, like, even like Dr. Z waiting room. So I'm sort of like pacing around, and then this guy comes out, and he's kind of like, he's a little theatrical, of course, because this is, you know, an escape room. And he explains now that we have to get in jumpsuits. We have to all wear jumpsuits.
Whoa.
And I'm like, okay. And then he's like, we have to wear knee pads as well, because there'll be some crawling and there'll be some this. And they're like, and that was all, I think, in the disclaimer. So we're putting it on, and all of a sudden I realize I'm getting anxious. And I'm like, oh. Now at this point, I'm sure we all have had this in the past. My brain decides it wants to sabotage me.
Uh-huh.
And it's sometimes hard to get out of a weird like feedback loop in your brain. I'm sure we've all had versions of this.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, you're speaking my language
growled right into the mic.
I've never felt closer to you than this moment.
So I all of a sudden go, oh, no, because he's explaining, like, you know, tight corridors, 90 minutes to 2 hour long experience. And all of a sudden, I didn't even think of this. This wasn't even on my radar. All of a sudden, I'm doing like paper bag, like, and now the mask, I'm hearing my own breath in the mask, in the heavy N95 mask.
Oh, boy.
I'm going, and I'm going, oh my God, is this, oh, no. And then I remember when I was on a plane a few weeks ago, I sat down on the plane, and for like a couple minutes, I had kind of the same feeling, like, oh, I'm stuck here. And then I remember I have like facial claustrophobia, which,
what?
I don't know what the term is, but I think I've said this before. They were putting like a fat suit on me at Conan, and it got stuck on my head, and I had a mini anxiety attack.
That seemed like a horror show. Yeah.
There was a Funnier Die video with Jeremy Piven that I was in where I played an anonymous race car driver, and I had to put a big, like, you know, that race car.
It was a branded, like, they were yes. That was like the Honda dude.
I was a Hot Wheel racer. Yes.
Hot Wheels racers.
And Jeremy Piven was there. And he had nothing to do with my anxiety that day. I don't know if that was the case for everybody. I don't know if that was the case for everybody, but I had to wear a helmet, and those, you know, race car driving helmets, like, you have to really cram them on your head. And I remember having the same thing. So now I'm reliving all of this. Like, I'm trying to get all this bad stuff out of my head. So I go over, there's like a water cooler, and I must've looked completely crazy. I'm like pulling the mask down, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm drinking water. I'm like, and the guy is like doing his whole spiel. Now the theatricality has really started. The lights go down in the, like, in the waiting room, wherever. Now he's kind of doing like a, now what I must tell you. And he's like, so you will be, he's like, you will be, you know, groups of three and three, and then you will go through the corridor, and you must beware of the Minotaur or whatever. He's talking about the Minotaur, because it's Project Minotaur. If the Minotaur catches you, you will be taken, and you will be put in a jail cell, and you will not be able to enter the, he's doing this whole thing. And I'm just like, and I go, he's like, does anyone have any questions? And I was like, hey, if you have to like get out of the game or anything, like what happens? How do you do it? He goes, ah, yes. Well, you have to put up the X, like, which is a professional wrestling sign for a guy is hurt for real.
Okay.
And I go, okay, all right, got it. All right. And he tells like, ah, yes, the great question or whatever. And I'm like, okay, great. So I'm sitting there, and everybody's like, we've like gone three and three or whatever. And I go, okay, that made me feel a lot better. I take a big deep breath. I'm not perfect, but I go, it's fine. Everything's fine. Like, it's just so stupid. I'm so mad. Like, I'm mad too, which I'm sure everyone has. If you've ever had like an anxiety attack, like, you're just like mad. You're like, you're mad. Why is this happening?
It's just this. This is what's doing it. But, also, but you do have, you know, look, we're like, everybody's at different COVID comfort levels, but the idea of being in a group, you know, in like tight quarters, and
I don't even know if it has anything, that part has anything to do with COVID, but maybe it does. Maybe it's sort of a leftover.
It's just like some, like a, even the mildest percentage that kicks you over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I go, ah, Rafe, Jesus, fine, or whatever. So I kind of like, I kind of get my bearings a little bit. And then he goes, all right, we're all ready. He goes, here, place these hoods over all of your heads. And I go, and here is where I turn into a third grader. And I go, I think I'm going to need, I'm having, and I think what I said was, mask-like based anxiety attack. I need to. I'm gonna. I'm gonna. He goes. And he like drops character a little bit. He's like, "Are you going to tap?
What's up, man?
Tap out? Are you tapping out?" And I was like, "Yeah. I'm tapping out." Everyone in the group turns to look at me, like as if like,
"Oh, good."
So, oh, good. Like as if I just like screamed or something. And they're like, "Oh." Like everyone's nice and like. I'm like, and of course. Now I'm trying to get ahead of the humiliation. Oh, no, it's fine, everybody. You go ahead. Like, I'm just yelling stuff. And I'm like, stop talking. I keep telling myself, stop talking. You're only making it worse. I'm like, no, everything. It's fine. Have a good time. You go in. Everything's fine. No, aww. You go or whatever. And I go and sit like on a booth. And then they just like, all okay, well, and we'll go. And then everybody goes inside. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. And I'm sitting on a booth. And again, it's like I'm a third, like in third, whatever that the worst memory you've ever had about being like left out or being too scared. I immediately just regress. Everything, every bad feeling I've ever had comes up, and I'm just sitting on this like Charlie Brown on this fucking bench in this stupid little room. And I'm like, what's, oh God, why? And then like, cause after 5 minutes or whatever, or even less, I'm just like, it's fine. I'm fine. Like it's, I wasn't even, right. It was never a major, like crazy anxiety attack. I was just having this weird, as I was saying, feedback loop of like, you're going to get stuck in a little place and you're going to be breathing. Like, it's going to be weird. Like that sounded, that voice came up like, hey, it's Beetlejuice.
oh geez,
you're gonna get a little in a tiny little space and you're gonna flip out and embarrass yourself. It's also like a morning DJ.
Must have really freaked you out when you met Bugmane. Like, you are the yeah. evil voice in my head. You're a real person I'm meeting.
You're gonna embarrass yourself, and also Attack of the Clones is good. yeah, so I sit down and I'm just I have not been embarrassed on this level in years. I have not humiliated myself. Everyone was so nice and then would be continue to be nice later. Mm. So I'm sitting here and I'm just like, fuck. And to make things worse, I had sort of even a vision of like, this is some sort of expansive building past where I can see. Not really. Everything's happening just past the door. I'm hearing
muffled.
Oh, the Minotaur. Like, I'm hearing like dialogue as if I'm literally standing next to everybody. I'm like, it's right off the fucking door. It's not even like in some deep cavern where you're going underground. It's right over there.
No. Scary. Yeah. Oh, but it's turning out to be a rewarding experience. Right. Actually, the most fun I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
This is cathartic. Yay.
And I hear Eva, like, she's like, help, help, help. And I'm like, that sounds like not real help, which it was not. Of course, it's part of the thing. She got captured by the Minotaur and she was put in a jail cell.
Eva, no.
She was captured and I was like,
it's like when she went to the underworld with us.
It's exactly the same thing. So I was also like, should I burst in? Would that be inappropriate if I go into the game now? Probably not. They probably wouldn't like that. Now, the guy who kind of took everyone in never came back out. I was expecting him to sort of come back out, but I would later learn he's part of the show. So a different escape room is going on, and then that lets out They, like, two people come out just elated, so happy, everything was so fun. The guy who was helping them out, he comes out and he looks over and he goes, whoa, whoa. He's like freaked out that there's a guy in here. And he's like, whoa, are you okay? And I go, yeah, no, I'm fine. And he goes, well, if you need anything, like, he's really, like, he's never seen a person in the waiting room who's tapped out. Like, it's as if he's never, I mean, I'm projecting a little bit here, but it's as if he's never seen this before. He wasn't just like, oh, yeah, you know, you had to tap out, huh? It was like, oh, God, do you need anything? What do you need? Do we have to call the ambulance or are you pathetic now? Oh, you're pathetic now, aren't you? Oh. So I'm like, no, it's fine. I had this weird, like, I was breathing heavy. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. He's like, all right, well, if you need anything, let me know. You need
to bro, call? Dude, hey, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm.
Now, what's funny about this, I'll say this part of the story because I don't think it matters. When we were asked, when somebody was asking him about, like, a location for, like, a bar or restaurant around here, he goes, oh, you know what? I don't know. I'm 19. And I go, oh, great.
The East Hollywood teens are factoring in this year.
I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting on this cushion or whatever, this bench, and I'm sitting, and now I have an important decision to make. Do I leave or do I stay to try to save face? Do I try to say, hey, look at me, I'm okay? Because there's people, like, first of all, obviously everybody wants to be liked. I like all these people. I want them to not, like, their first thing of seeing me in years is not to be like, oh yeah, that guy that chickened out before he met the Minotaur in a tiny little space.
Them having already built you up as the undisputed king, well, right, of SoCal. Obviously, you're going to go from there,
yeah,
down to this?
Yes. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, Scott.
And obviously,
that's why you never even look at the crown. Don't even investigate if there is a real crown. That's how we play it.
I'm like a Icarus, haunted Icarus, spooky Icarus who flew too close.
Spookerus
who flew too close to the haunted sun.
The moon. The full moon.
The moon
brought
melted.
Brought to you by Snickers.
The moon melted my wings with its light, with its ghastly light. So I decided, you know what? Okay, maybe people go out afterward. I can, you know, save some face.
But you said this is a 90-minute to 2-hour.
Well, I sat, like, kicking myself mentally for about a half hour.
So that just took care of so that's some so of that it down the drain. Self-abuse.
Exactly. And then I said, oh, you should just leave. You're pathetic. You should just leave. And then I go, no. I go, stay. Because if everyone's going to go hang out, then at least you can feel a little bit better about this. Because at least people will, again, will see that you didn't, like, just curl up in a ball in the corner of the room. So I do. I wait. Everybody gets done. They come out. They're all surprised. Everyone's like, hey, Carlson's still here. Look at that. Whatever. And then one of these guys comes out and he's, like, dressed as, like, the doctor, the mad scientist. It's not a different guy than the guy who did our intro. So he goes, hey, you guys did great. Everyone's talking. There's, like, a big, like, wrap up. Everyone went to the school dance except for me. This is what it feels like. Although I never. Oh, no, I missed one dance. Whatever. That didn't. I'm just saying that's the vibe of it. So he goes, hey, let's get back in there and we'll all take a photo inside. And
I saw the
photo too.
I was wondering.
Yes.
You did stolen valor for the escape room.
Well, that's true. Yes, that is true. I didn't think about it like
not
that.
Not for a group hang. You were part of the group hang.
Well, that's right.
True. So, can't take that away from you.
So I go, you guys go ahead. And they go, no, come on. I go, well, I'm out of the costume. I'm out of the fucking jumpsuit or whatever. They're like, doesn't matter. Come on. So now we go through and it's basically looks like an aisle at a party city with, like, just, you know, not that I was scared of the actual idea. It was just more of, like, the enclosed spaces. I was not scared of being attacked by a Minotaur. I swear that is not actually what it was. But it makes you feel even dumber when the lights are on. There's a tiny, like, two-room building. It's got, like, wallpaper with brick, like, just cheap-looking wallpaper with brick. And then a guy who is apparently our original guide wearing just a fucking shitty Minotaur costume just standing there. And then we go over by, like, this, like, operating, like, you know, Bride of Frankenstein operating table and take a photo. And I'm just like, this is what your brain kept you from, these two dumb little shit rooms, which, again, I'm sure it was middle school fun.
Halloween. Sure, it was seemingly well done.
Well,
sure.
Very well done. I just mean, like, when you see it with the lights on, you go, what is wrong with you? So
imagined fears, I guess.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff going on subconsciously too, but I guess just sort of just a general nervousness mixed with whatever that weird face thing I have where I get like weird. And if I am, I'm feeling anxious and I have something on my head, you know,
this is an insane. What's so weird about this is how it's like, it's such a specific phobia that I haven't heard of. And it just provoked like these serious situations for you. But every one of them involves something stupid. One, you're in a bunch of like floppy fake flab, like prosthetics. One, you're in a race car helmet with Jeremy Piven. And another, you turn out, you find like a guy in a cheap Minotaur costume. Every one of them has something really silly to contrast with the very not silly feelings you're feeling.
I definitely know what you're talking about with the race car helmet though. Here in beautiful Burbank, there is an indoor go-kart like warehouse. And the go-karts go to like they're normal size go-karts, but they can get up to like 40 miles per hour.
Sure.
And they put you in a race car helmet and then they're like, "And here's your neck brace." And I'm like, "Excuse me?"
Oh boy.
And so it's like a padding that goes around your neck to supplement the race car helmet. And no one, it was fine because you're just kind of going like in, you know, slightly more complicated than circles, basically. And you get hang of it. You do like 10 laps. And after the first lap or two, everyone kind of gets it. But like one or two people were suddenly perpendicular in the track. So I get why there are helmets. But similarly, yeah, you do it with your...
I was hoping Jeremy Piven popped up in your story too, though.
Yeah, Jeremy Piven. Yeah,
he ran me.
I started pinball and I dropped my like keys. And when I popped up, he was playing my pinball game.
Well, that's a real nightmare.
He steals quarters.
Yeah. Hose in a California roll. Well, he did it too. He knows that makes you sick.
That joke is at what, 10 years
that
old now at this
pretty
point?
Pretty niche. Yes. Jeremy Piven claimed he had mercury poisoning from eating too much sushi while doing a production of David Mamet's Speed the Plow
right?
on Broadway.
But it was like maybe just to get out of doing it.
Yeah,
I don't think he was good at it.
He said he had mercury poisoning because he ate sushi like every day.
And the other two, it's only a three-person play. Maybe. The other two people were Elizabeth Moss and Bobby Cannavale, I think. So like capital A actors.
And you don't include Mr. Piven? Piven in this list? No further comment.
That's rush. Look, again, I didn't want to say like something, it's crazy. It's obviously just a funny, dumb thing that happened. You know, we went out, everything. I think I saved face. I ended the night by telling Amy Nicholson about the John Travolta Pitbull video, 3 to Tango, that I'm very fond of. And introduced, I think I sent her Every Little Step as well from Old Dogs.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah.
Which you had not seen before.
And they're covering all those on Unspooled now.
Exactly.
They're inserting them in the top 100 films of all time.
I told the anecdote about Pitbull inspiring John Travolta to take the toupee off, which I love. It's a real fact.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is fine. I think
the same face was that you told this story to someone.
Yes.
So it was a happy ending.
So it's a happy ending ultimately. I mean, I don't know what they're saying, you know, on their own text chains. So at the end of the day, the damage is done. I do need to go back to, I guess, conquer the Minotaur at a certain point, but I was not prepared to do it in the days following. Because the feeling would linger. The next day I went to try acupuncture for the first time.
Oh.
And
you're so afraid of Hellraiser.
I made a joke about Hellraiser. I was like Hellraiser, but it was in my Achilles tendons. Like if Hellraiser was, all the pins were just in your feet.
After the previous night's experience, you're like, I want to go somewhere beyond pleasure and pain. Okay.
Yes. So I was in there, and while the guy's talking to me about everything, I had a like weird like flashback to it. And I was like, oh, because I was wearing the mask in there. I was like, oh, it's a tiny room. I'm going to be on a table. I'm going to be stuck there with pins in me for like 30 minutes. Oh, shit. And then I like recovered and it's fine. And, you know, everything's fine. But then I was like, oh, God, is this story enough for an episode? I go, I need to at least go to, I need to do Horror Nights. I need to do something to at least redeem myself. And that was the plan, was to go to at least Horror Nights. Again, as Jason said, a dependable haunt, you know, something that's not, it's, what did you call it? You called it polished.
Oh, I called it meat and potatoes.
And meat and potatoes.
It's very polished. Like, yeah, I think, yeah, it's a lot of Hollywood, especially Orlando, Universal Orlando, has a lot of original, houses, mazes. Out here, it's a lot of, you know, the big horror characters, Leatherface, Jason Voorhees.
Michael Myers.
Haunting of Hill House was the big new one on both coasts this year.
Yes. Haunting of Hill House. So I was like, okay, I'll do horror nights. But there was like doubt in my mind. There was a doubt in my mind. Like, am I going to, I don't think so. You're walking through it. I'm not going to get stuck in there. But I definitely was like, oh, is this going to be weird? Am I going to be weird when I get there? So I was pretty like anxious leading up to it. Now I invited, a friend, Jason and Jason, a guy named Tim Chang to go with me, who works on the show Grand Crew. And I don't want to say I made a mistake, but he immediately was like an hour late or so to meet. So like I was at Anahito's at City Walk like for a while.
Well, I scarcely see the problem.
Well, nice
I
place was good.
I love Anahito's. Yeah, I love Anahito's. And the bar was closing really like I had gotten there and the bar was like, I ended up sitting there after closed for a while and the bar was closing and he's like, hey, yeah, you got to order like right now. And I go, oh, okay. And I pointed at what I thought was like a margarita flight. It was just three tequila shots. And again, I did not do that for the show. I just literally was like, this thing is good. $18, three things. That's the margarita flight. Or I didn't say that, but I pointed it and he goes, yeah, all right. And he comes over, he goes, I want limes with that. And I go, yes. And then I went, uh-oh.
All right.
So
you're describing the way 95% of people do Halloween Horror Nights.
It's a good point. Yes. But I would have preferred if it was like, you know, sipping a cocktail or two before not downing three
in a row is pretty. Did you?
Yeah,
do it
really? I was waiting for Tim. I was waiting for a little while. So like there was some space in between.
Okay.
But I'm certainly not in tequila shot practice. I also just had a beer there. I could go in back and forth between.
You got to get practicing. get in shape at home every night.
You're right. At least at Anahito's, I could get in shape, which is a great establishment.
Let's go get him. Let's all go get in shape right
sure.
now.
Okay, yeah. Although it was 10 o'clock is when they stopped serving. So we're getting
Scott's
close.
Scott's nightmare.
Yeah. But we can go back. I'm willing to go back. So yeah, Tim finally got there and my stomach hurt a little bit from it.
So we're down, we're at a handicap already at the top.
Yeah. And, I will say, you know, we're spoiled on this podcast often when we get invited to press events. This was not a press event. This was just, you know, buying a ticket. And, if you don't buy front of the line passes, which are very expensive, the lines are 2 hours.
Yes.
Like 90 minutes to 2 hours. So we were like, oh, we're going to get in like two houses because it's late already. And then we were like, okay, so if we really don't get anything done, we can get like a frequent fear pass for an extra like $75. We can come to more nights or whatever. So if we don't get all like a lot of stuff done, we can do that. But actually, towards the end of the night, we made up a ton of time as people left. Like the first maze we waited probably an hour for, and then the last three or four we waited like 20 minutes total for all of them.
Wow.
So we ended up doing like everything basically.
Okay.
And yeah, I did all of it and I walked through and it was fine. I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm your humble king of Southern California haunts now. I've learned that hubris is not the way when it comes to bragging about going to haunts and scary things.
But leaders need to be shaken. Vulnerability is
yes.
what makes a great...
Yes.
It was Trump's great flaw that he refused to admit culpability for thin, admit vulnerability.
That's, you know, that's
you're
true.
No Trump. You're not a king as he aimed to be.
I have learned a lot from Trump.
A humble king now.
when it comes to bragging about haunts, Southern California haunts.
I was gonna say you were getting real Trumpy.
I kept saying
I'm never scared, believe me.
Yeah. Oh, you know what, I forgot, I'll post a photo of this. I have been wearing this Fitbit for the last month or so.
Okay. I noticed that. And yeah, Fitbit, I meant to ask you about that.
And the Fitbit, you know, it tracks all the stuff that a Fitbit tracks, and it tracks your heart rate. And last Wednesday, before the Minotaur, I took a look, and boy, was that thing high.
Yikes.
Boy, was that in the yellow. It was not quite as high as when I was running, but boy, oof, it had spiked. Because I wanted to see if I'm going to be like, was it really that bad? Oh, yeah, it was.
It formed a little skull shape in the arena. Right,
yes, skull and crossbones on my heart rate monitor. And I actually haven't checked it at Horror Nights. I don't think it was nearly like that. But I wonder maybe if it was like going in. That's an interest. I'll take a look and I'll post that.
What I was wondering is if you were going to, like, you get there, you take the shots, you're thinking about what happened a few days prior, and just the person, like, checking you in, all right, so one, and then you just yell, you dirty Minotaur, and sock them in the face.
I might just be saying that
until they bleed, and then you're kicked out of the park.
That might just be, like, what happens to, like, a Target employee. I just see the Minotaur everywhere.
It might happen next week. It might happen in 12 years. But everyone be careful of Mike for a while.
It is.
For several decades.
It is interesting that you bring it up. Because, like, the trauma of the Minotaur is now with me forever. You're right. Like, you're right on some level. Maybe it just comes out in, like, the nursing home. And, like, when I'm, like, 89 and I'm like, oh, like, whatever. Are you the Minotaur, dear? And she's like, oh, Michael is talking about the Minotaur again. Get that syringe of sedatives ready, because he really can get wild when the Minotaur comes out, when he thinks he sees the Minotaur. I don't want to look like a fool in front of people. I don't want. Oh, it's okay. You don't look like a fool. Yeah, okay. No, the Minotaur! Like, and then they just have to get on, like, three people have to get on top of me. And then it's a whole thing.
Mr. Carlson isn't allowed to watch. He's not allowed to be in the TV room anymore.
Right.
He thinks Wheel of Fortune is all Minotaurs. Letter is a new Minotaur.
There's a kids come in to, like, cheer the old people up wearing costumes, and one child is dressed as a Minotaur. I pull out like a pistol. I start shooting in the air. Get out of here, Minotaur.
You said you were going to screen the costumes. Yeah. That's precisely why I warned you.
It will rear its head some way. That is true.
Shining. Don't watch The Shining. That's one of the theories of secret messages in The Shining, in that Room 237 documentary. There's a lot of nods to the history of the Minotaur. There's a Minotaur poster. Jack Torrance essentially becomes the Minotaur going through the hunting Danny at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that movie's out. Although I've seen that movie. But no rewatching.
No rewatch.
Yeah, Never again.
No, you've got your senses out for Minotaurs.
Although I will say, seeing the Minotaur in regular light, it does take some of the scariness.
Well, just to backtrack, you say what did it look like in person and in the light, and then maybe how does that contrast with what you pictured in your mind, a higher end Minotaur being?
You'll have to believe me when I say I was not picturing.
You said, believe me, like Trump.
Folks, believe me.
I wasn't that, and believe me.
Like, that is what the liar says before he lies. So I guess I should not have said believe me.
I'm friends with many Minotaurs. You'll never find anyone who likes Minotaurs more than me.
Believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me. No. Okay. To scratch the part where I say believe me. I did not have an image of what the Minotaur was. I don't think.
I'm a little like, he's got like his head's kind of like a hammerhead shark.
He's got like horns.
Yeah.
I imagine that. Honestly, I imagine the Minotaur sort of being like maybe my height. And like just like sort of a bigger guy, big in stature and just sort of imposing. I think the Minotaur was maybe like 5'11", skinnier than me.
Damn, this Minotaur. Where's this Minotaur working out?
The Minotaur was in great shape. Probably could run pretty fast.
Minotaur's a vegan.
It was a very healthy Minotaur, I would say. It looked like a health conscious Lean is the perfect word for the Minotaur, Jason. Thank you. So, yeah, I didn't really have a vision of the Minotaur. Eva said that when this is also any all this all the details make me feel just even more silly. She said, like, when the Minotaur would catch you, he would go like, ah, and then he would like lightly touch your shoulders and like turn you around, and just kind of like nudge you toward where you're supposed to go. It's like, oh my God, the Minotaur is here. He's like tapping you and he like suggests the direction in which you will go.
A couple more degrees. Thank you. Okay. Rawr!
Which is really what happens when like going to any of these things after a while, you're like, oh yeah, they're just going to like come up to me and go, ooh, ooh, and you go, yeah, okay.
Well, that's why I'm kind of interested, because, like, clearly if they're gently, like, all right, now you're out, you go in the cage, you know, they understand the concept of liability and, like, well, you can't manhandle them into wall. So I'm surprised they didn't have, like, a procedure in place for, like, what happens if someone has a panic attack? Can you take them out and bring them back in?
They do. Know? I mean, they had the X.
The X. I got the X.
They have the X.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But they don't, they don't have, like, a way to integrate them back into society or something, like, into the group.
Yeah,
they do, yes, this theatrical company can't help you process what you're going through now.
There's so what they should have done is the guy playing the doctor comes out, and he kind of does, like, a therapy session with me real quick. Like, what's the root of this, do you think? And then we get to the bottom of it, I solve it, and then I go back in now with the tools to attack the Minotaur.
Now let's do the worksheet. Is this likely to happen? Is it possible that it's going to happen, or is it the worst case scenario?
So
do you think, is there a childhood thing on your face?
What do you mean?
Was there, like, I don't know, like, what's flashing through my mind is, like, Batman for Halloween, and then it, like, but your parents put on the mask backwards, so for a minute you didn't have your cowl with the big hole in it, or was there something worse, like a big octopus, like, jumped on your face, in an ocean trip?
Well, like a Starro-type alien attached itself to my face and controlled me for a couple weeks.
I'm worried that's what you're going to dream about tonight now. I hope not.
I'm glad I watched Suicide Squad before doing this.
Is Starro, there a thing like that?
There's a Starro. Starro is a DC Comics villain, and it's a big starfish that like shoots little starfish, and they attach themselves to your face.
Oh God!
And then they control you, or Starro does, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I don't. As far as like Halloween costumes as a kid, I always wanted like more stuff on my. I feel like when I was Darkwing Duck, I was really dissatisfied with the homemade. Like duck beak we made because it was just a flat piece of cardboard. It was not some three-dimensional duck bill. So I feel like it was always like I was always upset that there weren't more things on my face in general. I remember I was like the Ninja Turtle and you'd have like the mask with the little plastic like snout, the turtle snout.
Yeah, those were just okay.
But they were fine. And like there was a kid, I think, I'm sure I've said this before, a kid in my classes, his like mom sewed these like immaculate turtle costumes for second graders with like the full head on his head, and I was like, what the hell? This I look like shit. like it would be so funny because that would happen. That would be a common thing on Halloween. You're like, I look like shit and this kid looks fantastic.
When you said Darkwing Duck, I did flash to having a friend with an immaculate Darkwing Duck costume and how sad it made me feel that there's just no way it was going to. I knew, of course, I'm never getting anywhere close to it.
Yeah. I mean, the best costume I ever wore, maybe the most accurate one, it's between two. I was the Mad Hatter from the Batman animated series, which is pretty easy. Blue coat, big hat. You can make that easily. The other one is, I think in junior high, I was Chris Kattan's famous character, Azrael Abyss, the Prince of Sorrow from Goth Talk.
Ah.
And I look exactly like Chris Kattan in these pictures. I should find those.
Sketches written by Dennis McNicholas, I believe.
Is that right?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
thank you, Dennis. He was a little Florida gothy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm
pretty sure.
That's a great tip for Halloween costume. You pick something achievable.
Yes. Well, because everything when you're a kid is like, I want to look exactly like this cartoon character. And it's like, is not going to fly.
Or a cartoon. Yeah.
My sister and I were Fred Flintstone and Pebbles one year, which was like, fun felt thing. And you can make that outfit pretty easily. But like, I was like, kind of looking at him. I'm like, my face doesn't appear to be like Fred's face. I would like to look more like Fred. And I wish we had had like My sister really should have been the Great Gazoo, let's be honest.
See, I would pick a thing and stick with it for like 2 or 3 years. I mean, I think the best one I had was like the Ghostbusters jumpsuit, because I already had the toy Proton Pack. That's easy.
Yeah,
the jumpsuits were sold everywhere, like kids, like onesie jumpsuit kind of things. And then Ninja Turtles, I think I was practically wearing Ninja Turtle pajamas and like a felt mask.
Which turtle?
Michelangelo.
Okay. And Scott, were you ever a Ninja Turtle?
God, I feel like I was, but I can't. Maybe I wasn't. I don't know.
I was 2 years in a row. I was Michelangelo, and I was Raphael the next year.
I think I did a Ninja Turtle face paint at something where I had a lot of pictures taken, but I think maybe not the full physical costume. But
yeah.
Then when I was older, I was getting fucking lazy. I was like, we got a Mad Hatter hatted up like family party. I'm wearing this with an old sport coat of my dad's, and then the next year I was like, sport coat. And the Frankenstein mask that's been in the garage since the late 80s that my dad, when we were kids, he came out wearing once and he went, ah, and we went, just started screaming, like just started like, ah, and I was like, I'm going to use that. And then in college, I was the super exhausting guy, and I was not the only one at parties dressed like Hunter Thompson, but that was a very easy, you just needed a bucket hat and aviators and a cigarette. And I encountered numerous other Hawaiian shirt Hunter Thompsons.
I think you're bringing this up, you're bringing this memory back up. I'm pretty sure there's a picture of me that I have where I said my costume was Ari Gold from Entourage.
Whoa.
I'm pretty sure.
It all ties together.
So it all ties together.
I'll tell you this. Easiest year, Men in Black. Easy.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's easy.
Old suit, got it. Sunglasses, done.
Black suit with the black Ray-Bans on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Nod your head.
Nod your head. Yeah. Everyone was nodding their heads.
You just gotta nod your head, and then the costume's done.
The superior song, according to Jason.
Obviously.
According
to the world now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In all these HauntCast years, have we not just posted old Halloween photos?
Maybe not.
That seems like pretty basic, and we should, because I'll go find my, it was certainly not my best costume, but it was my favorite, was this when I was Indiana Jones 1 year, and it was entirely off of the ride. It was the year that the ride was new.
Oh,
boy, was I obsessed with the ride, despite being like so wimpy to go on it the first time, screaming the entire ride. I'm having a Minotaur moment, or a Lindsay on the Tower of Terror moment. Oh, like, right, truly, right. I was embarrassed to the point where my dad is like, you have to, this is like not okay.
How
like,
old?
Do you want it? Like 10, 11.
Okay.
Too old for that. And like, we've been waiting for hours in this thing. You're going to do this? so bad, so wimpy. But then, you know, loved it, obviously. And then I got to be Indiana Jones this year. And I think that I didn't even try to find a brown jacket. I think it was like a navy green, basically. The color's not even right, and then it's just kind of like a regular fedora, just like, you know, should be in a School Guys and Dolls production. And it's, so that's the costume. And then I think I had a rubber snake, and that I just, I don't know, why would I have that?
Right, you shouldn't have that.
I want to be anywhere. That's the last thing I should be holding if I'm Indiana Jones. And then I just kind of put like soot on my face a little, like I got like banged up or was, you know, going through a cave or something. And this, I'll try to find this photo, because the what I think I look like at this age versus look, I'm doing this face that's like, I think I'm a Minotaur. And then like, I am just the reddest cheeked little cherub. It is like, it is the least tough photo ever taken.
And it was ride based.
It's completely ride based. Yeah, because I think I probably had seen one of the movies, but then it was after that, then I like plowed through them.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I never even thought of it as a kid to go ride based for a costume.
That's pretty deep. I mean, even that is not that's on the line. It's movies too.
Sure, that's true.
I think you got to be pretty. I think we were all into the parks early on, but I think to be like, I'm Dreamfinder and you're 8 that's pretty quick to the chase.
That's true. Did you ever do a parks costume?
No, never. I mean, the parks were things that I did with my families. Like, we went in the summer, and then I came back, and I'm like, well, gonna have to cherish these memories and souvenirs for a few more years. until we go back again.
And speak of it to no one.
And speak of it to
I'll
no
never
one.
Know anyone who likes any of this.
I remember one time I ran into someone I went to school with in Florida at a park. And I thought, I think everyone had the like, oh, hello, hi. And then we just kind of went on our way. Like, it wasn't a person I was very close with. But yeah, I didn't talk about it at all.
It's like you both were in some seedy environment. You didn't want to even talk and like acknowledge
Toon Lagoon,
to each other.
Yes, in Toon Lagoon.
Like, all right, don't tell my wife if you don't tell your. Yeah. Like, just keep this quiet. If you know what I'm saying here.
We still haven't. Nobody's done parks based costume. Oh well, I was Captain EO one year.
Uh huh.
Oh,
sure.
Okay.
So that counts, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know. I haven't really done too much. I have been a Ninja Turtle in my adult years, and I looked even shittier than when I did as a child.
Let me bring it back around. I have the theory of when you were saying all that, I couldn't get enough stuff on my face. Is that the root of it?
Oh,
is
maybe.
It bringing? Is it this inverse shame of like that you wanted to have as much stuff on your face as possible to complete an illusion, and it brings you back to the shame of not being able to, and now you don't want to get anywhere near it. You don't want anything at all on your face.
Mm. Yeah. Do you have a third act resolution to your trauma?
Yeah, we got to solve it during this podcast length.
I mean, if I'm trying to psychoanalyze myself, I don't think it's that I just want so much stuff on my face all the time.
Doesn't seem right.
Doesn't seem right.
Like something anyone would want.
If I was like maybe like Johnny Depp and I had like 6 ear piercing and earrings and like Steven Tyler scarves and like sunglasses, like a combination of all my favorite people on the planet.
Yeah. The coolest, best people.
The coolest guys. Sunglasses, and then like, I don't know, like a little Steven's sort of like babushka that he wears. Maybe then I think that would be right, but I don't think so. I don't have a lot of stuff. I'm wearing headphones now, but that's just, I have to. It's a practical concern.
Like, we're in my garage, and I got like my like costume crates up there, you know, from various videos or sketches or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I can just start putting, let's just conquer it now. I'll just start spirit gumming everything I got. It doesn't even have to like line up to wear a mustache. Yeah. Well, you already got facial hair, so let's just like put mustaches willy nilly all over your cheeks.
And then you have to set me
covering your eyes.
Then set me loose in your dark house. That I think is the extra element to it. Is that I have to be set loose in a place that I don't know exactly where I am and the layout is.
Find a way out.
Yeah. To try not to wake a child.
Well, I guess I should have known this was a path to having my family murdered while Die Minotaur was screamed. I could have guessed that from miles away, and yet I let it happen. So it's eggs on my face.
Yeah, no, it's your fault. So we can quit. What's that?
Oh, I was going to say, so highlights of Horror Nights?
Oh, sure,
what did
yeah.
you enjoy?
So, yeah. Horror Nights is, yeah, you were saying, Horror Nights is very much kind of like standard. Like, Knott's takes, obviously, they have original IP. They get a little more license to do stuff. I'd also say like they, I don't know why I'm starting out by criticizing Universal again, but they just have some like stuff that surprises me more than Universal. Now Universal has a couple things like what's the Pandora's Box maze. That's an original thing. And I feel like that one's the best. And you watched all these as well?
I believe I saw that one. Yeah, they have been dabbling the last few years in like one or two original mazes.
Yeah, and that one is like really kind of stark. There's like a lot of neon paint and like you're going through ruins and there's like skeleton people reaching out at you. And then there's like some sort of like, I don't know what the legend is, but some sort of god. And he's a man. He's kind of like a lot of the, you know, gags or whatever you'd call it are like, is that a real person or is that a statue? And there's a man like kind of sitting on a throne and he's very, very still and he stands up and he's wearing stilts. So he's giant. All of it. Like you didn't,
oh, wow.
You don't even kind of realize it. You think like, okay, maybe that's just like a dummy. Oh wait, he stood up. He is 8 feet tall and now he is like waving his arms at me and I got to run past him. Yeah. So like that one, I think might've been both of our favorites going through it. Cause it was a little unexpected. Cause they sometimes like with Exorcist, and we had just watched or rewatched it. Have you guys seen Exorcist?
I've never seen it.
A long time ago.
They kind of do a thing with Exorcist where the maze, where it's basically doing like it's progressing through the movie. Because so much of the movie or the climax of the movie is the little girl in the bed just going through this transformation. The priest comes. He tries to perform the exorcism. Spoiler alert, people die. She's vomiting. She's twisting her head around. There's all this different crazy stuff. So you kind of go and see four different versions of the bedroom scene. So you go in and she's just in there once. You go through this like hallway where like spirits are like, you know, again, like throwing their arms at you. And then you go into the bedroom and now she's even more possessed. Even more. And then like the fourth scene is like the priest is dead on the bed. She's screaming at you. There's someone really like giving all their energy. So like that's cool. That's cool for a different, especially if you're like an Exorcist fan. But it's like not as surprising, I guess.
Yeah.
As like an original thing. They had the Halloween 4, which I have not seen. Mm-hmm. I've only seen the first two Halloweens. Have you seen Halloween 4?
Last year we watched the David Gordon Green one, and then we watched the original one, and then Halloween 2, the Wes Craven sequel. Halloween 3 is Season of the Witch, where there is no Michael.
Yeah, right,
Michael,
right.
Halloween 4 is when Michael's back.
Yes. And I was just talking to this friend, or this could sidetrack us, which is fine, I'm sure, because Michael Myers' mask is a William Shatner mask.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was looking, like, is he mad about that? And I was looking it up, and it seems like he is. I think he is mad. He's never got any money from that. Because, yeah. Like, I was driving down Lancashire from two Horror Nights, and there's a big poster for the new Halloween, and I'm looking, and I'm like, it is just William Shatner's face.
I never stared at it with that thought. I always forget who it is. But I know it's somebody.
When you think about it, you will never not see it ever again. Mm-hmm. It's William Shatner, who is going into space. When this comes out, he will have already been back. He's going to space tomorrow.
William Shatner's going to space tomorrow?
He's going on Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin spaceship tomorrow at like 5 a.m. He's 90 years old.
Oh, my God.
He is going into space for 15 minutes tomorrow.
It will have happened.
So it will have happened.
This is, you were describing, we've talked about our God, desire to not kill. This is the worst recipe for.
Oh, no.
Elderly man in space.
Here's the thing, though. You guys will never hear this. Something bad happens.
Fastest cut.
This will be cut.
Well, I
so
can't
fast.
Wait for him to land safely so you can hear this.
Yes. He will love it. So, yeah, Halloween 4. Michael Myers is scared. I am pretty scared of Michael Myers, I think, in general. I think, like would you say you're more scared of Michael Myers or Freddy Krueger? Because I think Michael Myers, even though Freddy Krueger's grosser, he's still, like, more, like,
sillier.
He's affable, you know?
Yeah.
I think it might be Michael Myers. I haven't watched a lot of the Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't know which of the fine streaming services have them right now, but
HBO Max has the Freddy movies,
and Peacock has Halloween.
It's Peacock October.
The Halloween movies, at least the early ones, might be buoyed by just Wes Craven is so good. The music is so good.
Yeah,
he's such a good director, especially that first one where he's doing so much with so little.
I watched Nightmare on Elm Street a couple of days like before doing it, and I was like, this is a pretty good movie too. The music's pretty cool.
I like a lot of those.
It's like synthy,
silly early ones.
And they're like synthy soundtracks, like, which are fun.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like got some scares and it's gross and whatever. And yeah, so, but I think I'm more scared of Michael Myers. Although I guess if it was like a Freddy Krueger maze, maybe I would be more grossed out by Freddy Krueger because he's grosser.
Mm-hmm. Freddy versus Michael versus Minotaur
versus Michael Carl. Freddy versus Michael Carlson versus Minotaur. That'll be my nightmare tonight. It will not be how Freddy Krueger can attack you in his dreams. Minotaur can attack me in my dreams. The Minotaur will be haunting me, and I will have to like trap it and bring it to the real world, and then kill it here.
Oh God!
So.
So if I see a slain Minotaur on my porch tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll know.
Well, so, oh, right. Well, good for Mike.
Wish me luck, because I got to go in the dream world. I got to go in the void and kill a fucking Minotaur.
Okay, have fun.
So Michael Myers, it is unnerving to see Michael Myers like just waving the knife at you. And they do a thing, and it's kind of, they do the same gag, or I keep calling them gags, whatever, trick, or same kind of type
scares.
Of scene. Scares, thank you. Where, you know, there's a lot of, again, static figures. And I think I said this on one of the other Haunt episodes. nothing actually freaks my brain out more than when I step into a room and I see like five static figures and I'm just, I'm like so fast trying to figure out who's a person.
Yeah.
And I go, oh God, like I'm trying to figure out immediately. And they do this trick at the end of the Halloween 4 maze. And it all of a sudden we turn and we're in like a hall of mirrors. And oh. I go, oh no. Oh. So I'm like seeing Michael Myers here and there, or whatever. And then you turn down a corridor and there are five of them, or five Michael Myers. And I'm walking through. And to answer the question I immediately had of how many of them are real, all five of them are real.
Oh,
and they all come awesome. To life
right at the end, waving their arms at you, like, ah, like, and run right out. And I'm in the exit. And I was like, all right, that was pretty good at the end. And they have a similar one. I forget which one. They do a similar thing only with like characters in paintings, where all of a sudden there's five people in this little tiny space lunging their arms at you. Right at the very end before, which leaves you going, like, oh, good.
Not you feeling these, like, you're getting the jolts, you're getting are you getting what you had in 2019?
Yes. If you're asking, did I get my mojo back a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like Austin Powers, I did feel my mojo coming back. Not fully.
Did you pop? Did the monsters make you pop?
I popped for the end of that Halloween maze.
Mm-hmm.
I popped for the stilt man on Pandora's box. I popped for like the really like rock and roll Bride of Frankenstein lives like soundtrack, like the slash, like the whole time you're in there. I was like, this is good. I really like this.
There's a tall man in Hill House too.
Yes, right? There is a very tall man. And Frankenstein's monster makes an appearance at the very end of the Bride of Frankenstein Lives. And he is very tall as well and lunged at me. And I was disappointed that he didn't lunge at me more. I was like, oh, I like Frankenstein. I'm such a Frankenstein mark.
Yeah.
I popped for Frankenstein at the end is what I'm saying. Yes, but there's a tall man in Hill House. And I did not watch. I watched a little of... You saw the whole Netflix thing.
I watched the whole thing and... read the book right around the same time. Yeah, because Lindsay and I were talking in an episode about the book. And I sent her...
Yeah, we know you read, guys.
La, la, la. Push those glasses up, Poindexter.
These are really aging. I sent this tweet to her because at the Universal Orlando, there is a tent called Nell's Tea Party Sandwiches. Which is very funny in the context of Hill House because the show is this very like long drawn out,
right?
Like,
yes,
creepy. The book's even more like long generational trauma. The ghosts are like bad memories and stuff. And then the very first thing on the menu, stuffed brisket, and then the last thing on the menu, Luke's grilled cheese, traditional grilled cheese. So kind of runs the gamut.
Right. Was there an item you would have preferred if you had gone?
If you could make like a cucumber sandwich of misery, like a cucumber sandwich, and they ask you,
you're inventing one.
I mean, I probably the tempeh Reuben. I like tempeh.
If
you're asking what's on the menu, I probably would have gone with the tempeh Reuben. I don't really like barbecue and beef.
If you bring now that you bring it up though, from watching Hill House, is there the blue milk? Is there a Hill House delicacy that you were just dreaming of trying?
Like heroin? I mean, I guess.
Did they do heroin in Hill House?
The one guy used to do heroin. I mean, that's what was funny to me about watching the Hill House footage is that the show is like long takes, monologues, creeping music, and then occasionally like a ghoul. And then the haunted house like has a pretty cool facade inside, but immediately blasting you with music and screams and loud voices, because that's one of the tricks of these mazes is that they throw you off the guard with a sonic assault right at the beginning, right?
Yeah. Well, they all all the, especially Horror Nights, all of the scares, and I'm probably repeating myself from 2 years ago, all the scares are punctuated by, and I believe we figured out, I think that they're controlled by the scare actors. Oh. So, and I think we noticed there was, at least for a few people, there was like a little maybe monitor, like a maybe a infrared or not, or no, what do you call it? Yeah, infrared?
Night vision?
Night vision, thank you. Where you they could see in the dark who was coming. Because like certain people, if you're in a little window, you're going to be throwing your arms out and you can't hit someone in the head. So you have to kind of be able to see in the dark that no one's in front of you to be able to throw your arms out there. And then I think also self-cue the very loud like string hit and a, maybe a scream and then turn the light on so they can see you. So they're kind of like doing this little like they're kind of like working like equipment kind of in addition.
AV booth.
Exactly. So yeah, if you're if they're doing one of those jump scares in a hallway or something, they have to do more than just the people walking around like playing the priest or playing, you know, like the Bride of Frankenstein, who's just like in a crazy like room and like reacting to the electricity and then like waving scissors at my neck. Like she doesn't have to work a button, I don't think. But yeah, yeah, that's a big part of it. I should say this, and this was, very, well, I guess not very exciting, but good, to get to the Halloween 4 maze, you have to walk through an empty Waterworld theater.
Oh yeah.
Ooh,
so we're, you walk all the way around it and then you walk all the way kind of through it and it's completely empty and desolate. And then you get to the Halloween 4. Entrance, which thematically, I don't know.
By the employee break room, yeah. By the office building where you do HR.
Yeah, like the HR people had to go to a different building. And then, yeah, so it is fun to see where all the different things are positioned because like they open up the, like they open up the area behind Hogsmeade in the Harry Potter land for a bunch of mazes. So okay. You walk straight back there. And I don't even know the geography. It's obviously somewhere on the back lot behind City Walk. Uh-huh. But like the bunch of mazes are over there. There's a maze over by Waterworld. There's a maze by like the French like street. That's where the Bride of Frankenstein lives is.
And all then, that junk over there.
Yeah. Well, they have Secret Life of Pets not far from there now.
No, that part's not. Yeah, yeah.
But there's like, yeah.
That weird unfocused like...
Uh-huh.
Well, there was like the world area with nothing to do.
Yeah, exactly. So like, but there were like, they sort of had like evil Cirque du Soleil performers walking around. So I was like, you know what? This is actually kind of on point. I actually appreciate this. So yeah, I mean, it was good. I felt at the end, I go, okay, all right. You haven't totally lost it.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like it.
And it is fun. There's a lot of, there's a lot of dubstep going on outside, loud dubstep.
Great.
Which
good.
I do lie. Again, I like a douchey pool party in Las Vegas. So hearing loud dubstep makes me happy.
I'm confused by that one. I don't know what makes you like that.
I mean, it depends. I mean, there's better versions of it than others, but I don't know. I like sipping a cocktail and being like just pummeled with music and in the water. I like that. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to relax.
I like that too.
Okay.
I like that too. Yeah, but yeah. It all depends. If it's like crazy, I also like a crazy looking scene. I think I do like. Mm. I enjoy like watching a weird scene like that.
Hmm. Well, I had the experience in the summer at a Vegas pool. Like I went down once in the afternoon, and they were playing like. Yeah, Bruno Mars or whatever, like very loud. And then I went the next day at like 8 or 9 in the morning. It was just very light, quiet jazz. Like they have talking. Different playlists for like different times of day. And I'm like, oh, that's really smart.
So yeah, I would if you're on the fence, Horror Nights, they got the vaccine mandate. You got to show you. Now, look, is this a foolproof system? I don't think so. I flashed my phone at someone and they went, huh, yeah, okay. There wasn't exactly like a background search. They didn't test my blood to see. Oh, Moderna. Yep. Yeah, okay. Go through.
They scanned you.
Yeah.
They didn't. Oh, all right. He's got the Moderna chips in his system.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. He's got the Johnson & Johnson government like this way, chips, sir. The
Mr.
trackers.
Gates says, let him through.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that his blood is a bit cowardly tonight, but Other than that, he's vaccinated.
You know, one of those shitty right-wing theme park Twitter accounts was just saying, like, universal attendance plummets in wake of vaccine. Guys, what are you trying to... What? Why? What is the end game of combining right-wing politics with theme park? This, maybe these things aren't supposed to go together.
Other than Walter Knott. And no, it's not supposed to go together.
But yeah, that's why, because he took care of it 50 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Walter Disney.
Yeah.
He just, you know.
Subtly.
But he didn't have a Freedom Center.
It's what? They managed to take time out of their busy schedule of 8 Johnny Depp posts a day to tweet about how Universal has effectively killed their entire theme park business with a vaccine mandate that they don't really enforce.
I will say Universal's Horror Nights was sold out. It was packed, of course. There was no problem as far as I could tell of them selling out.
I have been struggling with, like, going to theme parks and, like, oh, that's right, this is what full attendance feels like. This keeps happening. SeaWorld was so crowded. I'm like, oh god, I really miss these, like, the cramped only 30% allowed. Not even for, like, health and safety reasons, just like, I hate the crowd so much.
We actually inquired at the start. We were like, oh, how much is that front of the line pass? And they were like, we are sold out of that. We cannot give you one. And I was like, oh, wow, okay.
Fuck you for asking. Don't even look at us.
Yeah, they were upset. But we should really wrap up here. But Disneyland is getting crazy. And everyone said, like, oh, when Fastpass goes away, it's actually going to be better because the lines are going to be not long anymore. So that's bullshit, right?
Well, there were people complaining a week or two ago that it's like there were no reservations available. And I went to bed. October was mostly booked for me. I went to bed. I woke up. There was a bunch of open days. So I took it. And then the next day, there were even more open days. And I'm down there. Yeah, I was complaining. All right, I was down there. It was like the most crowded day I had seen in years. And I'm like, make the pool smaller. What are you doing? Don't add more availability. Like, it's not working, whatever the current availability is.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about it, but we'll do that somewhere else. I do want to say, okay, I want to wrap up here. Mm-hmm. I do want to say next year, we already talked a little bit. Next year, secret episode, secret ambitious episode, Jason getting brave, Fright Fest 2, and I would like to conquer a Minotaur somewhere. I don't know if it's a different escape room. Maybe it doesn't even happen to Halloween. Maybe it happens before. But I will conquer the Minotaur, whether it's a literal Minotaur or just the Minotaur of a horror escape room.
Beating up a high school football team.
I'm going to beat up
the Minotaurs. Beating up the, like, Minotaurs.
I drive my car onto the football field.
You beat up a high school football mascot.
Oh, that's funny.
The Smithville Minotaur.
That's like for a clip show or something. That's like a viral video of, like, mascot fight.
Yeah.
Drunken fan punches mascot.
If you don't want to victimize anybody in particular, you could just get a Minotaur costume, fill it up with fluff and garbage, and then, like, tackle it.
Okay.
That seems like great live show material to me. Everybody cheers you on.
Oh,
while
that's
you
a good point too.
Demolish a Minotaur.
Huh.
We could fill it with blood bags also.
We will fill.
We'll never get invited to whatever venue this is. But.
And Largo's stage will run right into
this. This is Largo?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're staining.
So here's
staining
the show.
How is
yes.
Scary Farm?
Oh, not Scary Farm. We didn't do a ton there. We spent so much time. That was Knott's. I should have mentioned more of Knott's, because Knott's is always nice enough to invite us. And they had a big dubsteppy, but also, like, 90s pop music, loud outdoor, like, have fun and food and drink. And we spent most of our time there. we certainly had a few scares there, but we were like, this is great. We're having a really good time listening to loud music. I didn't even, it's over, like, kind of in that, I mean, there's a lot of corners of Knott's where you're like, I don't know really where we are, but it was, like, deep in the corner, like, when you come and go to the right. Yeah, Knott's was fun. Because so many of the mazes were the same, and we were still like, I don't know, no one's wearing a mask in these mazes. We were like, well, let's not do a ton of things. But we got scared by people on this. Like, there were still tons of scare actors out. as you go through those like scare zones. We did, of course, our beloved Halloween version. I think, Scott, you did this as well, of the log flume of the, yeah, I can't think of the name of it.
Mm-hmm. Timber Mountain Log Rat.
Thank you. My brain shot. The bear did not say trick or treat to us.
Oh, man.
Did he say it to you?
I didn't do it this year.
Oh, you didn't?
No,
okay.
No, sorry, I couldn't tell you.
The bear, I don't know if he was broken, but as we said a couple years ago, we love this bear who says trick or treat.
The opposite of a minotaur.
Yeah. So that was great and not as fun. We also saw, and oh man, we're running over here, but we also saw the new version of the Mad Tea Party.
Now, what is Knott's. Is this like the literal band?
It's the
literal
band.
Yes, it is. And I totally was not prepared to talk about this, but I'm trying to remember the name of the band. But they did like Enter Sandman. Yeah, look it up. They did like Enter Sandman. They did some old Mad Tea Party favorites, like Enter Sandman.
So like the Chicken Dance?
They did.
YMCA?
They're not a wedding band.
Of a Nagila?
No. They're cool. They play cool music. They played Rhythm Nation, remember? And you were impressed by that when we did it.
I think you're a little overstating how impressed. You were clinging on to any positive reaction.
You were blown away when I said they did
the
Rhythm Nation.
The obscure song Rhythm Nation?
Yeah, they did. Let's Go Crazy. No, they did not play that at Knott's, but they were doing darker. They were doing darker songs, you know, like the Foo Fighters, The Pretender.
That's a song about a costume.
Heavier song.
Anyone wearing a costume is a pretender.
It's a very good point, and that's probably the thought process behind it. Jason, have you found it?
Yes, Carnival du Grotesque featuring Hiatus.
Yes, the name of the band.
Hiatus, I believe.
On the big main stage, it is Carnival du Grotesque. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Featuring the band Hiatus. So I don't know if it's every single member of the Mad Tea Party, but I believe it's definitely Alice and the Mad Hatter. They are now in like, you know, they're not wearing those clothes, but they have the old chemistry. The band sounds good. I was so pleased to just hear live music again as well. Just going like, oh, wow.
I guess if that's the bar.
Yeah.
They are playing live music.
I have some video. I should post that as well. Really, I totally forgot that I should have been talking a lot more about
that. You already
that.
Did post that.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to post more?
I have more, yeah. I have more.
Yeah.
Why? But we hadn't discussed it on the show, so more content. Because people obviously now, they thought we were at the end, and now it's a little surprise treat. They're like, oh, Hiatus, the band that used to play at California Adventure during the outdoor festival, the Mad Tea Party.
I was thinking weeks ago that Mike did not get his point across with a single clip. When is Mike going to post more Carnival de Grotesque featuring Hiatus? They've all been tweeting this.
This is like five Mike Myers, you know?
Yes.
It's a final little... They touch at the end. We almost buried the lead.
By the way, if you don't know what we're talking about, there was a second game. A lot of this was on the second game. We talked about this thing that happened, and there's some disagreement about
how good
the
it was.
Quality of the thing.
Some of us thought it was really good, and then somebody else thought it was just good. I won't say who thought what.
Something like that.
I will say at Knott's, they have a new area over by the Berry Tales that's kind of like a roaring, like ghosts of the Roaring Twenties. And they have like a big band that sounded really cool. And then there's just like, hey, look at that. Like guys all doing the voice late in, which I was like, this is all right up Jason's alley. Like you would have loved this. There's a lot of cool stuff at Knott's, even if you're not going to go in the scare zones and are in the actual mazes. They really seem like, I would say Horror Nights definitely felt like smaller than it did 2 years ago where it was like Ghostbusters. And that felt like really big and ambitious. This one felt a little bit smaller, but Knott's felt like they were going bigger and doing different stuff too, in addition to just a lot of the same mazes. But it like felt like they were even fleshing more of their like, I don't know, Knott's IP out into the park too. So that's highly recommended. I might go back to Knott's in the next week or two.
Oh, fun!
Because it was fun. So
so if there's any minotaurs hiding at Knott's,
I don't think there's.
Watch your asses out.
Maybe the Minotaur.
Watch your horned asses out. I assume the Minotaurs also have horns coming out of their butts.
Yeah, they have horns. Any orifice on a Minotaur, there's a horn protruding. Their urethra, their anus.
That's why they're so mad. They can't poop or pee.
If you had a horn coming out of your pee hole, you would be very upset all the time. I don't think, let me look, is there a Minotaur at Knott's? But the Minotaur is my, I guess, is my mortal enemy now. So it will follow me everywhere.
It's almost like some sort of beast who hunts you through the maze of life. As if it was some sort of Minotaur. Well, I guess that doesn't work. Oh, well.
Yeah. I think there might be a Minotaur in one of these new mazes.
There's maybe a Minotaur at Knott's?
I got to double check.
Maybe
in
the new Delusion.
It.
If you recall in the Delusion show, we saw like a stack of rocks suddenly came to life.
Oh,
and
yeah,
there was
a rock man.
A giant
rock monster. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I will conquer it maybe multiple times. Maybe I'll just take it on the road, as Scott's saying, and I will destroy or bloody every stage. From now on, every time we do a live show.
Oh, wait, this is upgraded from once to every performance.
It's like Gallagher.
Every
it's
live
like Gallagher
show.
Kind of a thing now.
Let's bring out the Minotaur! Everybody puts their tarps up.
Yeah. And then I take a big sledgehammer and I smash the Minotaur's head. And everybody gets bloody. It's fun.
I'll be honest. That sounds like the best touring spectacle that exists. That is straight to the front of the line.
Yeah.
It's a show. We leisurely talk about theme parks for a while, and then there's a live Minotaur fight. Extra bloody.
Oh, man. If I could have like a wrestling match with the Minotaur. Oof. Somebody's got to play him, though, I guess.
I suppose so.
Yeah. All right. Well.
If you're brave enough. All Do right. you accept the challenge to play the ultimate role of the Minotaur?
We just learned about the boxing or wrestling dinosaurs show.
Oh, so, shit. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, you could probably fight a Minotaur if two dinosaurs can fight in a wrestling ring.
That's true. So, all right. Well, I'll work on it.
Be on the lookout in future, in every single live show. And until then, you survived Hauntcast the Fright. Hey, we got to follow us on all the socials, and I don't have my notes in front of me. What's the stuff? Go to our TeePublic where there's merch, and there's three bonus episodes every month. And this month, it is Behind the Cemetery Gate, at Hauntcast the Fright, the Cemetery Gate at patreon.com/podcastTheRide. We just covered Muppet's Haunted Mansion with Griffin Newman, which was fun, and more spooky stuff coming over there.
And I'd like to just say that I'm getting my mojo back, baby.
Swing.
Well, good night.
I'm the Prince of Sorrow.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gairdner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.